Fred Film Radio Event.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from ARSAT, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description. Today I'm in company of David Wallard, who's a PhD student at Illinois State University and professor at the Texas Tech University. Welcome, David. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Sure. I'm very happy to be here. That was actually slightly backwards, which is okay. I'm a PhD student at Texas Tech and professor at Illinois State, but all good. Yes.
And you're here to present your paper. So you just presented a paper on audio description as a pedagogical tool in composition and writing. But let's first talk about yourself. As you said, you're a PhD student and also a professor. So tell me more.
Sure. So my program is technical communication and rhetoric, which is very broadly defined. And so if you're interested in disability studies, particularly audio description or captioning, there is space within that field to do that. In the United States, there's not really a solid school of disability studies that covers that area. So I got interested in it because I like visual studies, and I was really intrigued by the idea of how do you take something visual and how do you change that into verbal textual means. And this facilitated my own life very well. My wife is a professor that teaches teachers of the visually impaired, so we kind of have a nice synergy there of approaching these things. So I like the visual side of it. I like the fact that it helps in my teaching of writing. It helps really kind of bridge that gap that students often have between audience and purpose. It gives them a real reason to think about how do you edit, and it gives them a framework within which they operate.
What was your process? Why did you think that this field was your field?
I don't know when I thought that it was my field. It's sort of happened organically over time. It was the convergence of several different interests that worked really well. I like service learning projects in my teaching, and there are a lot of service learning opportunities where students can audio describe things for local events or for local museums. I like the collaborative nature of it that students end up working together and bouncing ideas off of each other. I like the visual aspect of it, that it gets students to really practice close reading and start to understand the form and structure of different texts and how they work together. And so at some point, I took a class on accessibility, and audio description was a very, very small part of that class. It was almost an add-on. That was the moment at which I knew what audio description was, but something clicked at that point, and I saw that this connected all these different dots and worked really well for me.
So why did you choose ARSAT? You just told me, you just told us that there's a conference right now in Portland. So why ARSAT? What do you think that ARSAT can bring to your work?
ARSAT is phenomenal in that it is focused on audio description itself. I think that I am on a border. I'm 1 foot in audio description and 1 foot somewhere else, whether that's writing studies or English. I'm not sure what you would term that. And so for me, ARSAT is the opportunity to, one, connect with people that are doing a lot of research specifically with audio description, and yet also help broaden the perspective. I like histories, and I like examining the ways that different fields or disciplines expand and grow. And so I think, this is the 10th year of an ARSAT conference, and so as it's broadened and grown deeper, it's now beginning to touch on other fields. And I think there's a natural bridge to writing instruction and writing pedagogy. And so I think that coming to things like ARSAT is really critical for that bidirectionality of learning more about audio description and also helping to inform audio description.
So let's talk about your paper and your presentation. You said you introduced it and said that you started to look at audio description in a different light and study how to use it in other ways. Tell us more.
Sure. So when my wife took a faculty job at a different university, the university that we went to doesn't have translation studies. It doesn't have anything to do with audio description. And I was away from the usability lab that I work in. I was away from the eye tracking lab that I work in. And I, in teaching writing, I guess maybe there was a need to reconnect with audio description, but I think that really what happened was some of the challenges in teaching undergraduate writing, I began to see could be met by audio description. Helping students understand that in situated writing, where there's an actual audience and there's an actual user, if you give them a purpose like audio description, where they have to take something visual and explain it to someone that can't see it, it really creates a rigor and a challenge for them to edit what they see and to really think deeply about the critical thinking skills and the analysis that's embedded within it. And so there's a lot of soft skills that having general education students practice audio description meets.
I just talked to Matthew Kaplowitz, who's the president of Bridge Multimedia, and we were talking about the status of accessibility in the U.S. compared to what we learned about the status of European accessibility, let's say that. What do you think about that? What's the status in your opinion, and how can we compare the two?
I think that the status of the United States is still very lacking. I see that with general education students when you first introduce a project to them where they're going to have to audio describe something visual. Many of them have never had any encounter with a blind or visual impaired user, and so they don't comprehend why there's even a need for audio description. They assume when they hear the word blind that it's someone that has never seen, will never see, and has no use for anything visual. And that's a hurdle to get over. And once you get over that hurdle, they begin to become very empathetic for a need for audio description. I haven't yet, but what I my next step is to really have them begin to interview some users with low vision or blindness so that they can understand better the perspective. I think that they're getting it now, but I think putting them in direct contact helps. My hope is, as far as the United States, is that things like this become a grassroots movement where students start to understand, rather than looking at audio description as something that gets tacked on at the end, everything that they do, if they have those principles in mind at the beginning, then they will take that into account in what they produce and make it accessible from the beginning.
Well, listen to the other presentation today. What's your opinion on the status of European accessibility and where we are now?
I think that you are light years ahead of where we are in the States. I find that there's a lot of promise in that. I often talk to my students about that there's really two perspectives. And that one perspective is that the idea of the golden age, that you could look back and there was at some point in history when things were perfect, and if we could just get back to that, everything will be well. And the other perspective is that looking forward, things will never be perfect, but they can always be better. And that I'm biased, and I buy very much into the second viewpoint. And so I think accessibility is one of those things that's always a moving target. It can always be more accessible. But as long as we're moving in that direction and making progress, I find a lot of hope in that. And so when I look to what's happening in the European Union and with the UNCRPD, I find that there's a lot of hope. There is a lot of catch-up work for the states to do. But at least there are some trailblazers there that mark the path forward.
Thank you so much, David, for being here with us and for taking the time from our side to talk to us.
Well, thank you very much.
And good luck with your project and your next projects and developments.
Yes, well, in 2 years, I will have completed the current grant that I have to have students go into museums and describe, and so I'll be back to report on that.
Well, so let's hope to meet soon to talk about this project then.
Absolutely.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the ARSA 2017 for FRED, the Festival Insider.
FRED Film Radio, 24/7 on FRED.fm and smartphone apps.